they amazing, church? So my Old Testament lesson comes from Psalm 130. And as you hear these words read, listen and see if you don't see similarities between Psalm 130 and I Will Wait. Listen to the Word of God. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits for the Lord. More than the watchmen wait for the morning. More than the watchmen wait for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him there is great power to redeem. It is God who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. So when I was thinking about doing this sermon series, it occurred to me that I've never preached a sermon from a secular song. And I've never heard anybody preach a sermon from a secular song. And so I wanted to ground it thoroughly in Scripture and our church tradition, but also to point to God and where He's at in this song. So here's my first attempt at it. Would you pray for me? And I'll pray for you. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the fullness that fills all things. In you, all things are held together. So hold us together, Lord. Speak your word to us. And that hearing you, Lord, that it doesn't go in one ear and out the other, but that your word becomes part of us, so that we recognize it in other places and that other people recognize it in us. Anoint me, your servant, O Lord, to preach your word. Amen. Now, you'd think that a song titled, I Will Wait, would just flounder in our culture. I mean, after all, we are Americans, and we don't like waiting for anything, God or otherwise. We want what we want, when we want it, and we want it now. And so it's strange, I think, that a song entitled, I Will Wait, sold 2.7 million copies by the year 2015. 2.7 million people heard this song about waiting, and something inside of them said, amen. Amen. Now, you just heard Psalm 130 read, and like so many of the other psalms, Psalm 130 resigns itself to wait. In the Bible, waiting and faith are nearly synonymous, which means that waiting is not a passive activity, that it is active. In the Psalm 130, it begins in the very depths of despair. Out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord. The psalmist then proceeds to travel through his own iniquity, wondering how God could offer merciful medicine for such heinous sins. Thoroughly convinced of God's steadfast love and power to redeem, though, the psalmist waits for God. While waiting, he preaches a sermon for all of God's people to hear. Hope in the Lord, the psalmist says. For with the Lord there is steadfast love and power to redeem. Which is to say that without the Lord, love becomes fleeting and fickle, and power rarely redeems. The psalmist's journey is from the depths to the pulpit. From the depths to the pulpit, proclaiming an unflinching hope in God's power to redeem in spite of all evidence to the contrary. And along the way, the psalmist reveals this deep longing. My soul waits for the Lord. More than the watchmen wait for the morning. More than the watchmen wait for the morning. You see, the psalmist stands the night watch in the darkness, craning his neck, straining his eyes, looking, hoping, wanting to see just a little light, just a glimmer of light come into the darkness. The psalmist's longing becomes Israel's longing, becomes the church's desire. Because moving from the Old Testament into the New, we remember old Zechariah, John the Baptist's daddy, who first saw the rising sun break into the darkness of this world waiting for light. By the tender mercies of our God, the dawn from on high is breaking upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. And isn't it strange, isn't it funny, that this ragtag band from England called Mumford and Sons taps into that same confession, that same hope, that same longing. The confession, there's too much darkness. There's too much darkness in me, and there's too much darkness in the world. The hope that light can overcome the darkness. The longing, I want to know truth, and that truth can change everything. And 2.7 million people said, amen. You notice those first couple of lines in Mumford's song, I Will Wait. It's these first couple of lines that just make all the difference. It says the author's come home like a stone and fallen heavy into the arms of someone that embraces him fully and without question or qualification. The long trip home of the author recalls the young prodigal's trip from in Luke chapter 15, who went out into the days of dust, squandering his inheritance before finally deciding not to eat pig food while daddy's banquet lay at home. Falling heavy into the arms of grace, it is a confession of weariness. Weary of doing things my way, weary of pain and grief, weary of allowing others' opinions of me to determine my self-worth, weary of possessions possessing us, weary of these divisions erecting walls between brothers and sisters in our country. Wearily we cry out, falling heavily into the arms of God's embrace, and a new sun rises. Speaking of dusty days and new sun rising, listen to the end of verse 1 there. These days of dust, which we have known, will blow away with this new sun. Here Mumford takes on the language of Genesis chapter 3 and the scriptural hope that Jesus Christ, and that it compares Jesus Christ to the rising sun. And by doing this, Mumford does this strange thing. He locates us in an odd position that at one and the same time, we are both in the days of dust and in the time of this new light sending darkness to flight. And we know both of these places very well, and we occupy them seamlessly. You'll remember Adam and Eve's story and the creation story when they got kicked out of the garden. And God declares this to them, you are dust, and to dust you'll return. Now, I hope we remember that Adam and Eve were not created out of the dust, but they were made out of the fertile ground, the Adamah. But this dust in the creation story, it doesn't belong. It's strange. It's even a different word than the ground. The word is Aphar, and it's used 108 times in the Old Testament, and almost always in the connotation of sin and uncleanliness and curse. Now, as a veteran of the Iraq War, this makes sense to me because I've seen a little dust in my day. I've seen the dust storms, and in the dust you cannot see. The water you drink, the food you eat, everything touched by dust, by curse. And in these days of dust, the only hope is that something new step in and make right everything that has been made wrong. And Mumford sees the days of dust, the days of pain and destruction, the days of curse being blown away by the rising of the new sun. Now it's interesting that he uses the image of the sun to blow away the dust. Does the sun blow, church? No. No, the sun shines, but the Spirit. You see, in both Old and New Testaments, the word for Spirit and wind and breath, they're all the same word. right? Ruah in the old, Pneuma in the new. And Mumford sees this essential unity between the sun that shines in the darkness and the spirit that blows away the days of dust. And if we recognize that it is the Father's arms into whom he falls into, we see the whole Trinity present in the first verse of I Will Wait. That is, we see all of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit present in our days of dust, taking us toward a new and glorious day and 2.7 million people, many of whom will never darken the door of a sanctuary, recognize the Trinity, and they say amen. Amen. Like Psalm 130, Mumford's song, it takes us on this journey. It takes us on a journey from the days of dust to hands raised high in praise. In Mumford's version of the song, the last verse, it goes, raise my hands, paint my spirit gold, and bow my head, keep my heart slow. It introduces a horn section. Trumpets and trombones, they let us soar out of the dust into new heights while also learning the joy of the humble, slow, steady work of God in our lives. And St. Paul's assurance comes blasting through with a trumpet. I am confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will see it to its completion in the days of Christ. You see, Mumford's song is about transformation. We who once only knew the days of dust, the pain, the inescapable curse of sin, now possess hope, or rather hope possesses us. But this transformation only leads to a desire for more transformation, only leads to a greater longing for the God who transforms. So seven lines in this song come in the form of a prayer request. Now know what we've seen, and him with less, in some way shake the excess. We know that the author's seen Jesus, the rising sun. And now we learn that he's seen Jesus with less. And that seeing this less, though, it causes the author to want to get rid of all the excess in his life, all the excess worry and junk and material things that he carries around, to just get rid of it all after seeing the less. And Philippians 2 comes to mind, where Paul tries to get us to learn to pray for the mind of Christ, and he says, tells us about Jesus, he did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant. Christ's self-emptying does not mean that Jesus became less God. It means that Jesus became fully human. And we begin to see that being fully human means becoming a servant, and that becoming a servant means emptying ourselves. It means moving away from all the excess in our lives and moving toward God and others. And that by becoming less, strangely, we become more. Strange. A multi-million dollar band prays for, longs for, deliverance from excess. Stranger still, 2.7 million consumers heard those lines about deliverance from excess and said, amen. Lord, help us. You know, the other prayer request in this song, it's in verse 3. And it says, so take my flesh and fix my eyes, a tethered mind freed from the lies. And my mind goes immediately to Hebrews 12. Let us lay aside the sin that so easily entangles us and fix our eyes. Fix our eyes on Jesus. In Mumford's poetic paraphrase of this scripture, we hear a deep longing to know and be known by truth, to be freed from the lies and live as if the lies are lies and the truth is true. Mumford knows that this takes a power greater than him to step in, to grab a hold and to actually reveal that truth. That truth is not self-evident. That truth is not what I say it is or personal preference, but truth is this revelation that must shine in the darkness. It must blow away the days of dust. Truth must catch us in the full embrace of loving arms as we fall weary from the road. Friends, this is good art. It's good art. And what I love about good art is this. It shows us what so many people long for, what they want more than anything. But they didn't have the words to say until this good art came along. And in this secular song we hear today, we learn that people long for a journey that transforms us. We learn that people want to see more than the deadly divisions of this present age. They want more than possessions. In fact, they want freedom from all the excess. They want to know truth, and they want that truth to set them free. Church, they want the God revealed in Jesus Christ. And if 2.7 million people hear this song and desire these things, I got to believe that many of you desire the same thing. And so if you do, if you desire these same things, just look at me in the eyes, just for a second. And say amen.
Amen.
Amen. So you've heard the song by our wonderful guests, and now you get to sing with them. Sing out, and the altar, of course, would be open for prayer if anyone needs to pray.
A stone, and I fell heavy into your arms. These days of dust, which we know will blow away with this new sun, but break my step and relent. You forgave, I won't forget. Know what we've seen and him with less. Know in some way shake the excess. 'Cause I will wait, I will wait. I will wait, I will wait for you. And I will wait, I will wait for you. And I will wait, I will wait for you. Though I'll be bold as well as strong, use my head alongside my heart, take my flesh and fix my eyes, a tethered mind freed from the lies, and I'll raise my hands, paint my spirit gold.